So the work I'm going to be talking about this morning is really the work of my graduate student, Lainey Meyer. So I just wanted to point that out. First of all, Lainey's sitting there in the greenhouse with her tomatoes. By the end of her thesis, she was all but sleeping in the greenhouse with her tomatoes. She's now currently writing her thesis up. So let's just go ahead and get started. So at K-State, we do a lot of work with grafting of tomatoes, and we really have two main goals that we're looking at overall. One is to develop easy and successful propagation methods that small growers can use, and especially growers that have limited greenhouse capabilities. We don't have growers that have British Columbia style greenhouses. We have a lot of small growers that work with limited capacity. And so we're trying to develop methods that they can utilize to graft their own plants so that they don't have to rely on purchasing them from other places. We also do a lot of work with evaluation of rootstocks and graft our own plants for that purpose, but I'm not going to be talking about that at all today. I just wanted to mention that. Much of our field work is really focused on high tunnel production because we have a lot of growers in the Midwest using high tunnels. So as I'm sure most of you all know, the commercial method for grafting tomatoes is what's known as the tube grafting technique or the splice grafting technique. It's very simple. You basically take a small seedling, cut it in half, put it back together, use one of these small silicone clips to hold it together, and then they go into what we call a healing chamber. And you can see several different examples of healing chambers that we've designed or used at in Kansas for our own grafting. Now, this healing chamber is particularly difficult to manage for many growers, especially that are new to grafting, because especially if you're in a greenhouse, you have a greenhouse within a greenhouse, and so it can get very hot very quickly, and you can cook those plants. The purpose of the greenhouse is basically to functionally compensate for the lack of a root system. So we bump up the humidity, we cut down the light, we slow that transpiration stream so that the graft union can basically heal itself. And that usually takes about 7 to 9 days. Now, I had a graduate student that finished in 2013, and she was also doing some work with propagation methods. And in this case, what she actually did was she would remove the shoot of the plant. See if I can find it right there. So it would take out the meristem and leave just the cotyledons behind. And this was actually very effective. We found that, you know, you could do a good job of this. But unfortunately, what tended to happen is you would get much lower yields, especially early, right? And for a high tunnel grower, that's not a good thing. They want to have big yields as early as possible. And so we kind of took away the shoot removal method. But in the process of that, she also did some work with leaf removal, where we basically just essentially remove the leaves but leave the meristematic tissue. And we actually found that she had higher success rates using leaf removal than the shoot removal or the standard method. Somewhere in the neighborhood of, if I can remember right, we bumped it up from like 85% to about 91%. So we increased our survival rate by 5 to 7%. One of the things that we've seen a lot in our chambers is this development of adventitious roots from the scions. And this can be a real problem, especially for growers that, again, are in limited capacity and using small chambers and using growing small batches of grafted plants. Now, there could be a lot of reasons for adventitious roots. Of course, it could be a result of the poor graft union. One of the things we speculate on a lot is just the high humidity. If the humidity is too high, it's going to induce the formation of adventitious roots. Another thing that we've seen is it could come from stress. And oftentimes what happens if you come into the greenhouse, check on your chamber at 3 in the afternoon, all the plants are wilted down because they're just too hot. And then a lot of times we'll turn a humidifier back up or work hard to get humidity back up to try and compensate for that, and then all of a sudden, 48 hours later, there's adventitious roots everywhere, right? And so we've seen that happen quite a bit. Unfortunately, what this does is it basically makes the transplant not functional, and it makes the rootstock not functional, especially if you're grafting for the purpose of disease management. You know, this adventitious root is just going to be a bridge to those soil-borne plant pathogens. So Sarah found that with the leaf removal, we can increase our success rates. What we wanted to do was find out with Lainey's work how that would also affect adventitious roots. And more importantly, if we could remove the leaves, could we put them in a lower humidity environment so that maybe you have easier systems and a healing chamber that's easier to manage? Because if we can use just shade cloth instead of plastic or humidifiers, this is much easier for a grower to manage because it doesn't get so hot on sunny days. So So the main objective of this work was to assess how leaf removal affects adventitious root formation on the scion. So there was three treatments, 0% leaf removal, and that's basically just a standard grafted plant, 50% leaf removal, and 90% leaf removal. And you can see those three treatments listed here. This would be our standard, this would be 50%, and this would be 90%. Now, in this case, we were grafting them with BHN 589 scion onto Maxfort rootstock, which is a very common rootstock used by growers. Once we grafted them, we put them into healing chambers, and we actually had three different types of chambers. Unfortunately, we just logistically speaking, we weren't able to replicate it in a way to look at interactions between the chamber and the grafting method, but we wanted to look at this basically as three different experiments. So we ran the experiment in a shade cloth only, we ran the experiment with plastic and shade cloth, and we ran the experiment with plastic shade cloth and a cool mist humidifier, which you can see here. Which again is pretty commonly used by small growers that are trying to manage grafted plants. So Laney developed an adventitious root rating system, and you can see what happens here. Obviously, if you get to the point where you've got giant roots coming off the scion, that's going to be a big problem. Whoops. So out of the chamber with the humidifier, you can see that by going down to the 90% leaf removal method, we were able to significantly reduce the severity of those adventitious roots. Now, this yellow line basically represents what we think would be an acceptable level of adventitious rooting. Small roots and trace roots that come out oftentimes will pop out, and then once you get them into a drier environment, they'll just stop growing at that point. Where we didn't use a humidifier, you know, overall we saw less severity of adventitious roots, and again, the 90% leaf removal method really helped significantly reduce that severity. And then what was really striking was with the chamber where we use shade cloth only, again, you know, these numbers keep dropping and dropping, and now we've gotten all of our plants within an acceptable level of management, and both the 50% and the 90% are showing significantly less adventitious roots. So we actually took all this data, we decided we wanted to crunch a little bit different way. So we categorized it into bins of acceptable, manageable, and unacceptable. Manageable would require a grower to actually trim those roots, which probably isn't really that useful for a large propagator, but if somebody were just grafting 500 or a couple thousand plants, it's something that could be done. Then we reanalyzed the data using these bins, and I just wanted to flip through this kind of quickly. You can see with the chamber where the humidifier was used, again, we had much higher overall levels of unacceptable adventitious rooting. Where the humidifier wasn't used, we saw slightly less. And then where the shade cloth only was used, we saw a dramatic decrease in the level of unacceptable plants. So once we did that and we determined that the removal of those leaves was helping to reduce our adventitious rooting, and Sarah saw in her work that it was also increasing success rates, we wanted to ask the last question, is how is this going to affect early fruit production? And we weren't able to do a field trial, but we did go ahead and do a greenhouse experiment to look at how leaf removal affects the early plant growth of these grafted tomatoes. So this was another randomized complete block design. We had similar treatments. In this case, we also had a non-grafted, what I guess you would call a negative control. It wasn't really relevant for the purpose of our research objective, but we just wanted to see how those non-grafted plants would compare. And you can see they're grown here in 2.5 gallon pots. Throughout the 7 weeks that they were growing, we took data five times. And you can see the measurements that we recorded here. Leaf area, root and shoot drive biomass, and flower count was one of the things we were really looking for. Is the plants that are going to shoot out flowers first, that might be an indicator about early yield. So I'm not going to go through all the plant growth data because there is quite a bit of it. And you'll just have to read Laney's thesis paper once it comes out. But you can see here that basically what ended up happening is we had fairly similar plant growth throughout the course of the season. This is the shoot biomass. If we look at the table, it actually shows all of the parameters. And again, I'm not going to go through all this data, but basically what we found is that the only strong trends we found was the significant differences between the non-grafted plants and everything else. All three of our grafting methods had relatively similar plant growth early in the year. More importantly, again, was these flower counts. We think that flowering is obviously an indicator of early yield. And so we went ahead and counted flowers, and she was able to count those as green flowers, yellow flowers, or I guess we call these buds, excuse me, yellow flowers and pollinated flowers. And basically what you can see is there was no statistical differences between the total flower count among any of the treatments. So what this tells us is it looks like it's not affecting or delaying the flowering of those plants. So our conclusions are basically that if we use a leaf removal technique, it is going to increase the success rate. And we found that with some of our previous work through Sarah's papers. And with Laney's papers, we're finding that you're also preventing adventitious roots. And it's kind of interesting, you know, we work in this research and extension thing for so long, and after a while you have to start listening to yourself. So this year, we usually grow anywhere from 5,000 to 10,000 grafted plants per spring for all of our grafting trials. This year we actually sold some to some of the local farmers. Every single one of the plants we grafted in our greenhouse, we use leaf removal. And they produce the most beautiful, high-quality transplants you've ever seen. I mean, it really tends to help. They also makes it a lot easier to work with them because the floppy leaves aren't falling all over the place and some of that kind of stuff. So we really are encouraged by this data, and so much to the point that we're actually following our own research, which is probably a good thing. The other thing that we found anecdotally, and again, we didn't have the statistical power to really test this, but it's definitely looking like you can over-humidify the chamber for tomatoes. We found with a shade cloth, it really works just fine. Dr. Miles' group in Washington has found this as well, and my previous graduate student also did some work in this area and saw that it works fairly well too. If you get that humidity too high, you will see more adventitious rooting and could be a potential for botrytis and some other diseases, although we don't tend to see that too often. All right. Thank you for your attention, and I'd be happy to take any questions. Yes, sir.
There are two questions. First of all, when you used the shade cloth, what did you find as an optimal moisture content? I'm sure you monitor that, those types of things. And the second question is also, too, in the leaf removal, is there's a cost involved in doing that. Is it feasible to do that, or just for a small scale, yes, for a large scale, no, or what's your feeling on that?
Yeah, those are great questions. So the first question was, what's about the optimum relative humidity inside of the shade chamber? So this actually graph right here is some of Sarah's data from her thesis, and it basically ranged between 60 to 80% depending on the time of the day. A lot of it is real dependent on the greenhouse, right, because it's very vulnerable to environmental conditions in the greenhouse. One of the things that we found with tomatoes over the years is that about the fifth day after grafting, those things just wilt. And it's some part of the healing process. And what tends to happen, I remember when I was a graduate student, and these graduate students, they walk in on the fifth day and they see all these wilting plants and they freak out and they turn on the humidifier and they try and fix that. But what we found is that if you just stay patient, and you'll find that the day after that wilting happens, they pop up the next day and you can move them out of the chamber at that point. As far as the question about economic feasibility of leaf removal, for a small grower, it's not a big deal. I mean, we actually just run through the trays before we graft them and just take the leaves off. I do think there's actually a lot of potential for mechanization. I can imagine a pencil sharpener type gizmo where you just stick the plant in there and it just pulls those leaves right off for larger commercial nurseries.
Carol? One more question.
Well, it's really more of a comment. In my work in Washington, what we found, and I know we've had this discussion before, but I think that the key is reducing the amount of free water.
Right.
So I think you have to manage your humidity, but I think the real key is getting rid of that free water on the plant, on and around the plant.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And I think by removing the leaves, you kind of do that, right?
All right. Well, maybe if we can move on, and then hopefully you can talk after the session.
Thank you.